Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast, a podcast for leaders and by leaders, where they share their secret sauce to success with technology, culture, and people. So hold on, because another great episode starts right now. Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I am your host, Thomas Anglero, Cognizant's Nordic CTO and Innovation Officer. Welcome to a new episode and to another phenomenal guest. I am so happy that we have all these great guests, and I am even happier today because the long overdue recording of this session is finally happening. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the CEO of Sesam.io, my buddy, my friend, Axel Berger. Axel, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you. I really appreciate being here, and I look forward to having a talk about data with you.
Yes. And what people don't know is we actually started this podcast before, but the internet failed us. So this is session 2.0 of the podcast. They don't know it. Session 1 died. But anyway, we've been warmed up. And in that interim of time, a lot of interesting things have happened. And the most interesting thing is that what I've uncovered is that leaders, executives are investing more than they ever have done before in data. But what is data? What is the value of data? Why are these leaders investing in data? Axel, you are the world's expert in explaining this in a simple way. And I want the listeners, all of you, to understand that this is the episode that you've been waiting for to understand. Why am I spending all this money collecting data? We're collecting data on all sorts of things throughout our network, on our services, our factories, our inventory. What is this all about? Why is this relevant? How should I do it? Axel's the man who's going to explain it all to us. How's that for setting the bar high, Axel? Is that pretty good?
I'll do my very best. And I really enjoy talking about data, so I'll try to explain this fairly simply, try to make it understandable because data is just such a fantastic material. It's such a fantastic asset that doesn't really, play to when you got assets, physical assets. It's easy to understand how it works and if it's used and how you can maintain it. But data is such a different asset. It can be copied, it can be manipulated, it can be distributed, and it doesn't really break. If you're able to manage it in a good way, the value is just tremendous. So I think the core of what I want to talk about is the management of data. How are you going to collect and share this data so you can get the value out of it? And it's all about data quality, right? Because data that is wrong or data that's giving you the wrong answers is not very helpful. It's going to break your business if you don't have the right data or use the data in the right way. So, yes.
So, Axel, let me just interrupt you, just for clarity for the listeners, because you said something quite profound. You're saying data is this, you called it a valuable asset. Old school mindset of people are thinking an asset is something I could physically touch. If I buy a building, if I buy a factory, I could touch it. That's an asset, right? And then today you look at cryptocurrency. That's just nothing but data. And they're going, that can't be an asset, right? So what I want the listeners out there to, for all you understand, is that Axel, please pay attention, because he's going to explain to why data, why zeros and one, why the things that sit inside your hard drives and your servers have the greatest value and the ultimate recipe combinations that you create your future much greater than the past business models of physical assets and moving over to data assets. And hold on. And Axel, I just wanted to set that agenda so everybody out there understands where you're coming from. So Axel, the floor is yours. And go right ahead, because I think you got everyone's attention now. Why is this move from physical assets to data assets? Why am I investing in it? Why should I invest in it? Go for it.
Well, you know, when you got the right data, you can automate your business. You can increase your product's quality. You can, you know, help, you can know the customer satisfaction. You can drive cost reduction. Everything you need to do in your business, you need to have the data to tell you where, you know, how your business is doing. So if you have the right data, you can do automation, right? If you don't know what to do because you don't have the data, you can't automate. So if you want to automate your business or increase your quality or increase the speed of execution, everything is dependent on having the right data at the right time in the right form.
Yeah, but right? then people are saying, what is the right data? How do I know that I'm collecting the right data? Because I don't want to spend money on collecting the wrong data, right?
Yes,
that's the elephant in the room.
And you know, this is kind of the magic thing, right? And let me tell you, there's kind of three ways to manage data. You can do the something I think all of you will recognize. It's the data anarchy. Everyone is just getting data, putting data in different systems. There is no coordination. Everyone is, as you say, collecting data in their own system, in their own way. And there is just, it's extremely easy. It's not usable for anything, right? If it's not structured, if it's not connected, you can't use it. So what many businesses do and governments do, and it is to try to solve this by going in the other ditch from anarchy to dictatorship. So they put a group of people together saying, you have to define now what's a customer, what's our product, how do you describe every object in our organization? And they can use years to do this, many years to try to catch the essence of the organization. How should we describe our most valuable assets, right? Our customers, our product, our employees. And they use years to do this, and they tell everyone to use the same model, and they think that there's a single version of the truth, and they chase that rainbow, right? So instead of going from anarchy, where every data is just kind of unconnected, they try to define this very clear, simple, single truth. But the word, you know, one size fits nobody.
Exactly.
So that approach, which is kind of the logically very tempting approach, right? Okay, we need to get control over our data. We need to know our customers. We have to decide how to describe our customers. This way of doing data management is always failing. It can help you to make, you know, analytics or getting the graph right, so it can help you on reporting, but it then doesn't help you on operation of your business. So one size doesn't fit everyone. And the third option is to try data democracy, what I like to call data democracy. And that means you have, you know, it's such a valuable asset. And each part of your organization needs different aspects. There is no single truth of a customer, right? It's different, seen from billing, seen from sales, seen from support. These are different perspectives on the same data. Mm-hmm. So you really need to let each user of data define their data quality. And I like to say on data quality, I like to say this, data quality is in the eye of the beholder, right? There is nothing in data that gives it quality. It doesn't have data by itself. You can't measure the data quality as a separate kind of perspective on data itself. Data quality is only when you use it, if you get the right data at the right time, at the right place. So you've got the data you need to make the decision you need to do at that point in a form that makes you able to do that decision. That's data quality. And it's different throughout your organization. So you have to deliver the right data to the right people at the right time. If you're able to do that, that's data quality. And democratization means you can't decide, no one in the middle can decide what the right data is, because that's the one who uses it, who can decide, this is the right data, this is the data I need. Okay? Is that possible to understand?
That is fantastic. No, I mean, yes, you have, you know, my head's like on smoking right now. That was fantastic. Because let me just summarize what you're saying. Some of the points you're saying that were really, really good. And that is that having a committee, a team, being responsible to put together the strategy of what you're going to do with the data. I love what you said. You said it only produces really good analytics and graphs. I would add it also the word PowerPoint.
Yes.
Right? And but that's what the leaders out there are expecting. They say, listen, we're collecting huge amounts of data. Let's put together a team who will understand the data and drive the business. That's common sense. But that thinking in itself, it doesn't work. And what you're saying is that each individual in the company, like you said, the billing department, the sales department, marketing department, they value one piece of data different than another department or another individual. Let's move it from departments. Let's move it to the individual in the corporation. Everybody values that data and sees the quality of that data differently. That's your democratization. That is an amazing picture once you can wrap your head around that. Because then as a leader, which is when you're looking at your company, you can no longer go from, I'm putting together a team to make the decision to pull the strategy on the data. That is so macro, that is useless. And what you're saying is that the team that the CEO should be putting together is not a team. He's actually, or she is actually, empowering the individual at a micro level. And saying that
exactly.
Every one of you are responsible for the strategy on the data and the quality of the data, because you're the only one who understands that data the way you understand it. Mm. That's amazing, because the amount of innovation you're going to get from your same company, same number of employees, is exponential. It's quantum many more opportunities that you're going to have for growth and seeing new revenue models, new business models, failures, errors, efficiency, so on and so on, versus the old school, let me put together a team. And you guys, girls, got 6 months and come back to me and here's a budget. Did I summarize what you said?
Yes, that's a perfect match. So what you need to do is to get the infrastructure in place to be able to connect and share this data and empower the individual, as you say, because it's really down to, as you say, it's down to the individual and the role that the individual have to be able to use the data and to decide on what data do I need to have to be able to do my work more efficiently and to innovate and to do great things, right? And we see so many samples of the problem of trying to do this the other way around. I don't know if I should talk quickly about Akson, the Norwegian health system, that and how they
absolutely. And I just want to quickly give it. Yes, you're going to do that. I just want to help people with visualizations, and that is examples of this of empowering the individual at the lowest level and a corporation not getting it is there have been many spinoffs from inside a company where people had an idea, they presented it to their boss, the boss didn't like the idea at all. That person quit the company, started their own startup, and it took off. And I believe that's what Salesforce became, right? Yeah. Salesforce was an idea inside of IBM, I believe. And the two guys in Germany, the boss at IBM didn't like it. They quit the company, started Salesforce, and now Salesforce is almost as big as IBM. Not really, but it's pretty big. And I mean, there's so many ideas like this. Opera Software, same thing. If you're in the Nordic countries, Opera Software started inside of Telenor. Telenor thought it was a stupid idea to create their own browser. So the guys in Opera left and they started Opera Software. It's when you allow the individual, you empower an individual who looks at the data and has those epiphanies of innovation of saying, wow, if we did this, these amazing things will happen. So I just want to give some stories of the past connected to what you're saying. And now please share your stories. Go for it.
Well, I just want to, it's such a good example, I think, where, you know, in health, it's a fantastic possibility, right? If you can have all the data you have around health, if you can collect that, connect it in a good way, think of the innovation, think of the, you know, the
life-saving
people's life.
Yes. That's absolutely nirvana, yes.
And it's totally crazy that, at least in Norway, the health, the system, the data isn't connected at all. I spoke to the head of the Norwegian emergency department, or the Oslo emergency departments, and he told me that just going into that department, if you've broken something or if you need the emergency help, you have to go through three different journal IT systems, which are not connected. So the people working there have to put the information in three times after each other. And the reason why it's not connected is because they think it's privacy issues, or they can't agree on the way to solve this. So the Norwegian government in 2012, the Ministry of Health in Norway, they decided we're going to fix this, right? So it's total anarchy now. No one knows anything around data. You have to print your journal, right? You have to, if you're lucky, you can get a PDF on a CD-ROM. That's how it is. It's
there just
extremely
one step forward, 10 steps back.
Extremely strange. And so what do? They decide to go in the other ditch, right? So the Ministry of Health, they decide that, okay, we're going to make this new system, and it's going to be one inhabitant, one journal. Like this is a physical thing, right? Like your health information is something you have to put inside a separate folder somewhere, right? Mm. So they decide, okay, it's going to be one system, and it's going to be for everyone. So to solve the problem of anarchy, they don't put rules and say, all the systems needs to follow the rules. No, they say, we're going to make a new system. They use 10 years of describing the system. So after 10 years, they came, okay, we're going to build one system to rule them all. And we're going to use 10 more years to build it. So in 10 years, then you're going to have this one system that's going to be used from the emergency room to the physiotherapy. And it's going to be great, I'm sure. And it's going to cost 2.2 billion euros, and it's going to use 10 years. And you know what's going to happen then. It's going to use 20, and it's going to cost 10 times, and it's going to be stopped. It was stopped, luckily. It was stopped.
Yeah.
But in the Trondheim region, a part of Norway, they did put it in, a few weeks ago, they started it. It's called the Health Platform. And the users call it already the Help Platform.
The Help.
Okay. And this is the same problem. They make one system, and the users, they have to, if they want to prescribe you a painkiller, they have to click 36 times.
What?
Right.
Hold on a second. We had distortion on the line. Say that again.
They have to use 36 mouse clicks to prescribe a painkiller in the system. And the users are just, they say this is really going to people, this will affect people's health. And but there's a hallelujah mood amongst the one who made it, because they are the one who decided it, and they think it's great.
I have so many comments to all this. So sorry about that. No, that, don't be sorry.
It's just a sample. It's just a sample, and this is happening everywhere.
That is a wonderful sample, because that backs up going right back to the beginning when you started talking about the inefficiencies of having a team to be in control of the data and make all these rules on the data and make the plan and strategy on the data. It doesn't work. And that's a perfect example of it not working, and a tag of a cost of $2.2 billion. And that's probably the lowest end of what that final price would have been. And 36 clicks. By the way, everybody, there was no distortion online. That was just me trying to emphasize Axel's point. 36 clicks when you're sick and you need your medicine right away. You got to wait for somebody to click 36 different boxes. Each box requires a sentence. You got to read these sentences. You have to answer these questions. People are going to die. People, this is horrific. And for you listeners out there, if you're not familiar, Norway is one of the most digitalized countries in the world in regards to healthcare. Everything is digital. The problem, as Axel said, that these are islands of digitalization. So you have health registries that don't talk to other health registries, database. So everything's digital, but nothing talks to each other. So the country, geniuses for digitalizing healthcare, absolutely just decades ahead of their time. But the fact that they didn't hire Axel to help them to democratize their data, to free their data, and allow for the individuals to make decisions so that the solution is best, most efficient to help the patients, has been the era. And you gave a wonderful examples. Axel, is there anything else? I mean, you've given so many good examples, and a lot of leaders out there are going, okay, I get it. Is there any other perspective you want us to have when we look at the investments we're making?
I think it's important then to see. I haven't talked too much about how to solve it, right?
I told the
problem, but there it is. But I can tell you a way to go to move forward, because this is not going to be a one-off. We fix this by setting that, that's no. the point, right? You can't yep. really yep. fix this by doing one project and then you solve it.
Exactly.
The point is to have a different perspective.
Yes.
You need to provide the best tool as possible to your information workers, any workers or any department. You have to give them the best possible tool, the best of breed, the tool that helps them be most effective yep. for exactly the task that they are going to use. And yes. then you are going to let each of these systems synchronize its data into a central hub. So you can let any system need exactly the data that they want, and they can synchronize its data into a hub, and that's where you do the data integration. You don't make the system talk to each other. You don't change the system at all. You just get the data collected in a common way, in a common format, but not in a common form. Right, you don't decide on how the data should be there. You just collect them, and then you use expertise to connect these different data forms, and you do that by more data. You really describe the connection between one system's data with another system, and it's called semantic technology. That's a way to give. You put metadata on your data. So it really just describes the connection between different types of data. And then you let the infrastructure synchronize and just keep data synchronized into your application. All of your applications, you can do one at a time, and you know how it is. You're going to change your systems continuously. So it's a continuous process, but each time you get a new system, you just let it synchronize its data, and you connect that data with the existing data.
Okay, Axel, that sounds amazing, right? I mean, it sounds like the perfect dream. So let me ask you a question and break it down more. This amazing hub that all the data is collected into, if I'm on one of the listeners, I'm going, great, where do I buy it? You understand? I mean, that's what people are thinking, right? Is this something that's offered by the hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Amazon? And where do I get this amazing hub? That's question number one. Number two, I have to assign metadata to all the different sources of data coming in. How big a project is that is? What type of people do I have to hire? Who can do that for me? What is the duration of this project? And at the end of this project, I have all this data that's talking to each other, and that's what I want. So what are we looking at? This is how business people are thinking. Can you answer those questions?
I can answer it fairly quickly. You start by the most important data that you have, the most important systems, a few of them. You connect the data, and you buy the necessary infrastructure by a combination. You know, you got the data platforms from Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. There's a lot of them, right? And quite often there will be a consultancy like Cognizant or anyone else helping you connect these dots, right?
Yes.
If you know what you want to do, then you use standard software. And CESAM, as I represent, is one part of this. We're handling the master data part of it. So we're synchronizing the master data, but not all the data. So we're just a piece. But there is data platform components out there, and the technology or the architecture that you would use would be data fabric. Data fabric is a fairly new concept describing how this works, using metadata to do this. It's not a product. It's a way of solving this issue. So you need capable data management people to help you set this up. It's not a single product somewhere you can buy. But if you use this method of solving the issue and understand, I think that's the most important.
Exactly.
You have to understand that you are not going to make this central system that rules everyone, right? Mm. That has the model, the answer to everything. It is really this hub, it's really just a synchronization hub. It really gives the power back to the ones who need this. So it makes it easy for anyone who needs data to collect the data they want from the hub. But the important thing is you collect all the data in the hub in the different forms, and then you connect the object. You connect at the object level. So one single customer from 10 different customer systems is connected, but it's not standardized. There's no answer to how the customer should look. It's just that the same customer is connected across the systems. If you're able to do that, you get 90% of the value if you would have even tried to put, you know, the whole thing as a standardized as a standard model, right? You will get enormous value with not much effort, because every system can give you its data, and the only thing that Cognizant or anyone else can help you with is to connect these data, put it in the infrastructure, and make it available as a single shared resource.
Exactly.
And it's not very hard. You just have to do it right.
But it's critical. So you know, actually, what you just did is, again, wonderful job of simplifying something that's so important and it's never been really said. To all you leaders out there and executives out there, Axel just gave you the second step. Step one, collect the data. Step two, create a hub with this methodology, with fabric of the data, that the data is then collated. It's placed so that any of the users, not the team, right? No longer we're doing teams. The individual employee is able to access the data, multiple sources of the data, and then with that, they're able to think, innovate, and come up with new solutions for your company and maybe solve problems and things like that. Axel, you just gave us step two. But that's what every leader has been wondering. I collected the data. What do I do with it now? Create this hub. Companies like Cognizant, one of the best, if not the best, at working with you to create this hub to release the power of your data for all your employees, for all your partners, for everyone, including you as a leader. Axel, you rock. You made something so impossible for everybody sound so simple while you sit there in Lofoten, Norway, enjoying 28 degree weather. It must be Lofoten. It must be the air. Yes. Listen, with our last few seconds in the podcast, is there anything else you'd like to share with everyone? And by the way, thank you. You're amazing.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you. I wish all of you luck with getting value from data. It's an amazing asset.
And where can people find you, Axel, if they want to get a hold of you, ask you some questions? How could they contact you or your company?
Well, you can go at sesam.io and you will read about our component. But as I said, we're not really we're a component helping others solve this issue for you. Really, that's our. But please feel free to contact me. And there's a contact form on the webpage. So
awesome, Axel! Thank you to all of you out there. Thank you. Really appreciate your time. Share the podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We are everywhere. Thank you so much, Axel. Go back to tanning and enjoying your summer vacation. I am so jealous of you. And to all of you, go back to your tanning and your summer vacation. I'm just kidding. Everybody, thank you so much. I'm Thomas Sanglero. Until the next time, take care, Axel. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.